From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Paramount Theater in Seattle, Washington, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Oh, yes, indeed, we do. We share your enthusiasm, ladies and gentlemen. Later on, we are going to be delighted to have novelist Tom Robbins on the show to answer our questions. We hear two things made him the novelist that he is: taking LSD and moving to Seattle. We will ask him which of these was weirder. But first, an awful thing happened in Major League Baseball this week. You know what I'm talking about? No, I'm not talking about the umpire blowing the pitcher's perfect game. I'm talking about what happened afterwards. The umpire apologized, and the pitcher forgave him. It's un-American, because the only thing more American than baseball is endless, pointless arguments about baseball. Well, we invite you to take our game way, way too seriously for your own good. Give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Autumn from Vienna, Virginia.
Hello, Autumn. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm fine. They have a lovely name, Autumn.
Thank you. My parents were hippies.
Your parents were hippies. You're just going to just say it.
Yes.
That's pretty moderate for a hippie name.
Well, my brother's name is Hunter, though they were going to name him Forrest.
Forrest. Okay, so I guess ultimately you lucked out is what you're saying.
Yes.
Well, welcome to our show, Autumn. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to the man behind everything you will find at the internationally known website, Baudette.com. Mr. Tom Baudette is here.
Hello, Autumn.
Hi, Tom.
Next, a comedian performing at the Northern California Center for the Arts in Grass Valley, California, July 10th. Paula Poundstone is here.
Hey, Adam.
Hey, Paula.
And lastly, the host of the podcast Too Beautiful to Live, Seattle's own Mr. Luke Burbank.
Hi, Adam.
Hi, Luke.
They're not booing.
No.
I don't think.
Autumn, you're going to start us out with Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle will now recreate for you three quotations from the week's news. Your job, correctly identify or explain two of them. Do that, you will win our prize. Carl's voice in your home answering machine. You ready to go?
Let's go.
Let's do it. Here is your first quote.
I am furious at this entire situation.
That was somebody finally giving in to the demands that he show some anger by completely failing to convincingly show anger. Who?
President Obama.
Indeed, President Obama. You know what would finally end the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico? President Obama yelling at it. At least that's what the conventional wisdom says. At the White House press briefing on Tuesday, spokesman Robert Gibbs was asked, "Can you describe the president's rage? Does he yell and scream? What does he do?" Gibbs said, quote, "Well, the president's jaw was clenched." Pathetic, pathetic, especially because, as it turns out, the president's jaw was clenched around his ivory cigarette holder during a game of canasta.
Now, I think it's more of an old school paternal anger he's got. It's like that when you make your dad so mad that he just looks at you, shaking his head, "I'm so disappointed."
Yeah, it's just deadly.
Yeah, and it hurts so much more than if he just yelled at you.
Sadly, the oil spill seems to be immune to that kind of subtle psychological pressure. It is true, Obama has handled this problem so far in his usual conciliatory way. He offered, for example, in dealing with the oil spill, he offered to incorporate some of the well's ideas in his plan. It could continue to spew, but maybe it could spew something other than oil, perhaps yogurt. Something more healthy. Then, realizing that wasn't working, he decided to go to DEFCON 3. He invited the well to the White House for a beer summit. The well declined to come for fear Joe Biden would show up and out-spew it. All right, very good. Here is your next quote.
Ooh, my. I'm getting the vapors.
That was Democratic consultant Paul Begala. He was, of course, feigning shock at Republican accusations that the Obama administration has been illegally offering what to people it wants to influence?
Jobs?
Yes, jobs. Well, you know, in his defense, President Obama did say that he was going to work as hard as he could to create jobs. This week's news was that the White House admitted it offered a job to a Colorado politician to try to keep him out of a primary, which he refused, just like the last guy they tried it with, Congressman Sestak. Now, this sort of thing has been going on in politics since Nebuchadnezzar first ran for Babylon dog catcher. But still, the Republicans point out that Obama promised no more politics as usual. In other words, they are mad at him for not being better than they are. But more to the point, none of these job offers were accepted. It's not that Obama is corrupt, it's that he's bad at being corrupt. Here, in exchange for your support, we are offering you a warm handshake and a signed Yes, We Can poster. Hello? You still there? Congressman, hello?
Why would you take a job under a guy with that kind of a legendary temper, though?
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This must be so frustrating for the Republicans to watch. I mean, the Republicans are good at this sort of thing. For them, it must be like watching your dad play Xbox. You know, it's like, no, you don't. Just press the. No, you. Just let me do it, okay? You know? All right, very good. Autumn, here is your last quote.
Perhaps the love faded away through the years like a slowly melting glacier.
That was New York Magazine being a little snarky, reacting to the shocking news that what enduring political couple is, in fact, separating.
Alan
Tipper
Gore.
Yeah, the Gores. True. This news was very sad for the Gores, of course. They've been married for 40 years, 4 years of which was just that kiss at the Democratic National Convention. And it was a terrible blow to everyone else who were trying to make their marriages work. I mean, no longer can you say to yourself, well, hey, if the Gores can stand each other, maybe we can too. The couple is not talking much about exactly what happened, but they have said it was an amicable split, best for both of them. We do wonder how it went through. Did Al bring up a PowerPoint slideshow? See, Tipper, you can see under this list, marked things that it isn't, I've indicated you. While over on this list of things that it is, the number one factor is me.
It's really hard to believe, isn't it?
It really is. I was really sad about this. I was kind of broken up because there are certain things you want to believe in. Good things are possible.
It's like you ran 26 miles. Just crawl the last GD 2/10 of a mile.
Well,
roll there. We've seen the end of the triathlon.
I think
that is a young man's perspective, isn't
yeah.
it?
I think an older person might say, you know, I've run 26 miles with you. I don't want to have to spend my last 0.2 with the same person, if you don't mind.
You know, now that you've said Al and Tipper so much, maybe it just one day dawned on him, I'm married to a woman named Tipper. It's not the sort of thing you notice during the first 40. Up around 39, it starts to get to you. Al, honey, what? Tipper.
Carl, how did Autumn do in our quiz?
Peter, Autumn has been following the news. She had 3 correct answers, so she wins our prize.
Well done, Autumn. Congratulations.